This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. I'm your host, Francesca Gentile. Today is Dr. Amy Marsh. Amy is an intriguing woman. She has a doctorate in human sexuality. She has a private practice as a clinical psychologist, and she's also a hypnotherapist. Her doctoral project was on sacred sexuality, ancient sacred sexuality traditions in Hawaii. And I'm so excited to have her here to talk about that today. And welcome, Amy.
Oh, aloha, Francesca. Nice to be here. But I have to correct you. I'm a clinical sexologist, not a psychologist. I just have to get that straight.
Thank you for correcting me. Feel free to correct me anytime.
Oh, okay.
I love being corrected by someone as wonderful and intelligent and knowledgeable as you. So that's why you're here, is to help all of us have the appropriate and precise information as much as possible on how to have a beautiful, sacred way of being with one another. And I invited you on today because of that connection that you have with the Hawaiian Islands tradition. And some of us have been there. Most of us have heard of Hawaii, these gorgeous, sensual islands. And there's a sense that there maybe is or perhaps was something so beautiful that if we could reclaim it today, would bring such beauty and connection to all of us. And you've studied this. And first, maybe to give us a context, what do the Hawaiian people feel is sacred? Like, how would they describe sacred or sacred living? What does that mean to them?
Probably the most important word out of many important words is the word pono, which has a lot of meanings. We can think of it as balanced, appropriate, just, everything in its place, everything functioning the way it should be functioning. And I would say that the context for all Hawaiian life had a great deal with this sense and this feeling of pono and how to keep it dynamically moving, you know, as a dynamic state of being and living.
It reminds me, Amy, of the Asian concept of the yin-yang, which is, if we, you know, have the white on one side, almost like a curved teardrop with a black dot in the middle, and the black on one side is a curved teardrop with the white dot in the middle. And that sense that there's a dance that's always happening between the feminine, the masculine, like you said, balance, imbalance, back imbalance, harmony. And is it similar to that in a way?
I would say in some ways, yes. And if you can then see that the rulers of Hawaii in the old days, before European or Western contact, the ali'i, part of their job was to help keep things in balance, and yet they couldn't do it without the common people and without na'akua, the gods. They couldn't do it without their relationship with the land and the creatures of the land and the ocean. So it's more like a, you know, it's not just one duality being imbalanced. It's like fractals of dualities and dancing around together, but at every moment people doing what they need to do with the land and with the spirit.
Very similar. It reminds me to that the Native Americans speak of all my relations.
Uh-huh.
They mean the plants and the animals and the human relations and the stone people, and that when I hear that pona, there's this sense of being related to everything and wanting, desiring to have a right relationship with it.
Yes, even the genealogies in Hawaii will encompass animals and plants, but that's because the gods had the ability to take many bodies and many forms. This is called kino lau, and it means many bodies. And so if you hear someone say, oh, my amakua, my ancestor is an owl, well, you know, it's not that they think they have owl DNA. It's that their ancestors from way far back had the power to take on those forms in some fashion. And these are usually, you know, ancestors who have become deified.
It's such a beautiful tradition to feel that my ancestors can be in the natural world, that they can be something in addition to human. And I sometimes ask myself, if we believe that there is a deity or divineness or divine consciousness in the world, is there anywhere where God is not? So that the divine itself is in every form. And as related in my divine spark in me, I'm related to you, I'm related to our listeners, and I'm related to animal spirits. It almost has that totemic feel, doesn't it, too?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it quite that way, but yeah, yeah. It is beautiful.
It very, very beautiful. There's a sense of harmony and belonging in that, which is, I think, a crisis of the modern world. We hear so often is a sense of I don't belong. I don't feel like other people. I don't feel like I belong here. Many of our listeners may even feel that they're unique or unusual in listening to this show, which, you know, in their own precious way they are. And yet as we start to broaden this pono, this balance, there's a sense of belonging everywhere is what I hear in what you're saying.
Well, there's also, with relationship comes kuleana, a kind of responsibility. So, you know, you will hear, if you go to Hawaii, you'll hear the words or see the words malama the aina, you know, take care of the land, you know. Kokua, to take care of other people or other things that need to be taken care of. But kuleana is also another important word, along with aloha, which actually means face-to-face with the breath of life. So this feeling that we really share in these things together.
So could you say that again? So aloha means what?
Face-to-face, that's alo, and then ha is the breath of life. So face-to-face with the breath of life, the honi, the greeting that you will see Polynesian people do, you know, pressing foreheads and noses together and breathing, is also very similar to the tantra kiss, you know, in other traditions. But it's that exchange of the divine breath and energy.
We can envision even now, you and I and our listening audience, that we bring our foreheads together.
Yes.
Bring that third eye together, that connection of spirit to spirit, and we bring our noses together, and we breathe in and acknowledge that one breath that we share.
And there's an exchange of essence, and even sometimes an exchange of knowledge when you share that breath. Sometimes knowledge is transmitted just through the breath in the Hawaiian tradition.
You know, this feels like it's all heading up to, you know, foundation for sacred sexuality, because the reason I asked you about the sacred is sacred sexuality in every culture is within the foundation of the sacred itself. So it feels like these are the stepping stones, these concepts of the face-to-face with the breath of life and the taking care of and the you know, right relationship or the balanced relationship with all things. Is a part of then how their sacred sexuality would be approached. Is that close?
Yes, I would say so. There's a sort of a seamlessness when you look at the old Hawaii traditions and ways of living, where there really isn't a division between spirit and self and the land. You know, it is all interrelated and interconnected in a way that sometimes I think we can scarcely, you know, we can't imagine. But I want to make it clear, too, that looking at Hawaii through the lens of a sexologist, as well as a Hawaiian student, you know, a culture of the student, of the culture, that Hawaii was also a very sexually supportive culture because it really taught people how to be in relationship and how to be good lovers and aware lovers from very early on. People had a lot of encouragement, and there was a lot of social and cultural support for that, so that the sexuality was just also seamlessly grounded in that sense of the sacred and pono-ness and the society and the family, the community that you're living in.
You know, I want to talk more about how they viewed the sexuality, perhaps in ancient times, and whether it's the same today or whether the more modern world has impinged on that. when we come back from a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors. And I always encourage our listening audience to support our sponsors because that allows beautiful shows like this to be coming to you. And we'll be right back.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. Talking with Dr. Amy Marsh, doctorate in human sexuality, clinical psychologist. I mean, clinical, I keep saying that, clinical sexologist, hypnotherapist, and fabulous woman who has studied sacred sexuality traditions of the Hawaiians. And we were just talking about what is their sexuality, when we move into from the sacred and then start to focus more in on sexuality, and has it shifted from ancient times to today? And perhaps how can we reclaim that ancient style?
Okay, well, I'll answer that question. And then if you like, I'd like to offer a very short chant. And I also think, Francesca, maybe you're giving me my new career direction. Maybe I'm supposed to be a psychologist too. I don't know. But leaving my career path aside from this, I would say that what we're looking at is a very fragmented, destroyed, appropriated, and damaged culture where the people have been working very, very hard to reclaim a lot of the important elements and features. But because Hawaii was taken over illegally by the United States and so much harm was done in that process and is still being done, that what people actually do today in their daily lives, at least with regard to sexual expression, would not have ordinarily any of what we might consider a ritual. But what I will say is that the deep warmth and also the love of pleasure and an uninhibited happy love of pleasure still exists, though it may not be something that people are publicly aware of. I believe that most Native Hawaiians feel very, very private about these things right now because they were told for so long by missionaries that these experiences were wrong and bad.
And I want to breathe that in with you and send out a prayer from my heart to the Hawaiian people and to all of us for the loss of pleasure, the loss of joy, the loss of celebration in our bodies and our sexuality, that somehow in the journey towards reconnecting with the sacred and with the divine, that somehow this mistake happened where we felt that sexuality was outside the divine. And I really just bless you for being here to helping us support and helping really intentionally support the Hawaiian peoples to bring back their traditions and bring back that beauty for themselves and for all of us. And I don't think many people know, I know I didn't until recently, that the United States had stolen Hawaii illegally, that the Hawaii, the peoples had never wanted to join with the union, and that they're still suffering under that. So I'm just going to breathe that in and breathe out a prayer for them and for all of us.
I want to say that according to international law, the World Court at The Hague, that Hawaii is technically an illegally occupied country. And then I'll just let that sit for a moment. But I also want to say that I'm not helping to bring back anything for the Hawaiians. They're doing that job themselves. I'm having to function very delicately and carefully as somebody who loves the culture and wants to learn from it, but at the same time I have a responsibility to appreciate it, but not appropriate it, and also to not do anything that would gain me money that would come from Hawaii. I just absolutely cannot do that. So I feel very tender and protective even talking here about these matters, because they are very, very precious, as you said.
And we would invite that if there are Hawaiian people that are listening to the show that want to come on and speak for themselves, I would so love to have a Native Hawaiian on the show, or several, and that, you know, money is not exchanging hands for this show, and we it is our intention to hold the Hawaiian peoples with all honor and respect. So thank you for bringing that up, Amy. And so there is still that, those, you know, those kind of shards of the woven in of the warmth and the uninhibited, you know, and happy love of pleasure. And what was it like before? What is your sense when you find in the stories, or the, you know, when you talk to people, kind of the shards of that lead you back to the roots? What were those roots?
Well, the roots were, I can say that many types of relationships were honored and accepted, many, many kinds, much broader spectrum than, you know, we even can imagine. We see remnants. We get a taste of what was there in the hula still, and even more so in the mele ma'i and the hula ma'i, which are the genital reproductive chants, which are just absolutely wonderful part of the tradition. You also feel a lot of it in the songs, both ancient and modern, where there's a lot of kauna, and this is a poetic tradition of many layers of meaning and often quite erotic. Anytime you hear about rain or mist or water in a Hawaiian song, it's usually talking about lovemaking of some kind.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. I'll give you many examples off the air. So I believe that things were very free in many cases, except that this was also a society organized around a strict system of rules, which would help to keep things pono. So the ali'i, the rulers, for example, really worked hard to achieve mana, power, through the genealogies and through their mating and the children that they would produce through these various genealogical lines. And quite a lot of focus was on them. They could not necessarily be free all the time. You know, it depended upon, you know, had they produced children yet with the right mate. And there would be rules, you know, if a ali'i had a child with a commoner, that child may or may not be accepted. You know, it just depended. You know, things were very different. But in the most part, I would say people were generally free to enjoy themselves, their own bodies, and the bodies of their lovers, whoever they may be.
We're just going to breathe that in.
Okay.
It's a lovely concept to hold, is that once again, we get to enjoy our own bodies, we get to enjoy the bodies of our lovers, we get to celebrate that, and that there could be many, many forms of relationships that are all sacred, and yet there's still rules. It's interesting. There is always a dance between flow and structure, you know, that in a way we don't even have a river without both flow and structure. So that still existed to these peoples. And would you be willing to do a chant before we go to break? And then when we come back, I'd love to talk about how some of these principles can be incorporated into our lives today.
Okay, sounds good. I am going to do a very beautiful chant to Laka, the goddess of hula, who is also the goddess of abundance, of the voice, of wealth, which is indicated by a double word for water, vaivai, fresh water. And this is a chant that is associated with hula. It personally has a great deal of meaning for me, and so I will just launch into it. Breathing first. E laka e, pu pu veo veo e laka e, e laka I ka leo, e laka I ka loa a, e laka I ka vai vai, e laka I na mea a pau. Ano ai aloha e, ano ai aloha e, ano ai aloha e. Thank you.
And what does it translate to?
It's basically greetings of love to Laka, the goddess of Hula. It talks about her being the goddess of the voice and of abundance and of greenery and of wealth, which is, you know, again, the water. And I feel it as a very heartfelt way of connecting with my gratitude for being able to learn from this culture. I'm very lucky.
I felt tingles when you were chanting that. And we welcome the abundance. We welcome the wealth, the pleasure, the beauty. As we go to break, and we'll be back in just a moment with more information from Dr. Amy Marsh.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex with the fabulous Dr. Amy Marsh, talking about Hawaiian ancient sacred sexuality traditions. And it's just so delicious to have you here on the phone tonight. And that last chant, I could just so feel that in my body.
Oh, I'm glad you could. I'm feeling it too. And actually, during this whole interview, Francesca, I'm feeling such rushes of energy and connection. It's really, really fun. I mean, I got to do this again sometime with you. It's not on the air in some other way, but this is really
We actually live fairly close to each other. We could see one another in person. And that there is this energy, this sacred energy, this not only the breath, but the energy that we share. And what would you say to us, the listening audience, that is, we're here in a way in breath, but we're here in energy with one another. What are some practices from these Hawaiian traditions that they can take home into their sacred relationships, and maybe some resources if they want to go deeper into this tradition?
Well, I think that nourishing connection with the land, it's going to sound funny, but I think you really have to start there. Feeling grounded, feeling the earth energy, and also acknowledging, too, the energy from the heavens. This is something that's almost universal to so many people, and it's strong in the culture, in the Hawaiian culture, too, you know. But living and walking and loving in that connected manner would really be the foundation. I don't think you have to be elaborate in any sort of ritual. I don't even think you need to do it with any sort of, you know, Hawaiian or pseudo-Hawaiian trappings. You just simply start living that way, you know, trying to experience those connections. And this will help you to experience deeper connections with your lover, as well as other people around you. So exchange of the breath, feeling that connection with the land. There's a lot of reading that can be done. I would say if people want to learn more, some of these things are buried in books. Some of these things might occur to you if you begin to study hula, for example.
Hula, and there's a male tradition, too. So if men can also study something. And so women often study the hula. What would a man study?
Men study hula, too. And I want to say that both men and women also study the martial art, lua, which has a definite relationship to hula, they're intertwined. One is fighting, one is dancing and telling story through movement and chant. It's movement, it's energy, it's in motion. You know, the more you feel it, the better off you are. There isn't anybody who sits down and teaches authentic Native Hawaiian sexual traditions.
Yet?
Fragmented. Well, and I'm not so sure at this point that somebody should. I would worry about cultural appropriation in that case. It depends on who's teaching it, who taught them, what their lineage is. It's very important to ask permission in this culture, you know, for learning or doing. And but I think that understanding the beauty of being in relationship with the land and the wind and the rain, whether you're in Hawaii or here or any place else, this is where it begins. It's our relationship to the earth. then our relationship to our lover becomes part of that.
Who is our sacred ground. You know, our lover is our sacred ground. And I love, I'm sitting here in my little temple kitchen at the moment and looking at a beautiful flowering plum tree outside my kitchen back door. And when you speak, it reminds me to not only feel the breeze, but to perhaps every day in the pleasanter times of the year to try to get out with my feet on the dirt in some way, or the sand, or wherever I am, the sea, you know, some way that I can feel a connection literally to the earth. And then also feeling that sense of opening to heavens and having those, that moment of the breath with my beloved, that we remind ourselves of that again, so that we land in our bodies, out of our heads, out of our computers, and really land in that sacred moment with one another.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If we've got another moment, I just want to let the listeners know that there are lots and lots of landscape features all over the Hawaiian Islands, which are named after erotic actions or body parts. And this shows you how the landscape itself was erotic and alive in the old culture. They were also had very skillful practices that they would teach each other, men and women alike. So we haven't had time to go into that today, but there was quite a great deal of sophistication. And
ooh,
that is just now coming to light.
I'll have to have you back to learn more about those specific practices and techniques that you're discovering. And how would people get a hold of you, Amy, and get connected to your work?
They can email me at dr.amymarshsexologist, Dr. Amy Marsh, sexologist, at gmail.com, or they could phone me at area code 510-277-0440 and leave a message. I also have lots of websites, but if they people email me, I can give them links. And I do have a Native Hawaiian sexual health website because I do pro bono work for Kanaka Maoli.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Amy. And I want to thank our listening audience for being in the sacred path of life and love and sexuality with us. And if you want to find out more about Amy, get transcripts from the show, get connected to her websites, get connected to me and my clinical sexology practice, you can do that at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com. Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.